This message is brought to you by Nuveen. Nuveen has provided investment excellence for 125 years with expertise across income and alternatives. Nuveen continues to expand its capabilities while maintaining its legacy as a leading investment manager. Visit Nuveen.com to learn more. Investing involves risk. Loss of principal is possible.
Here's your money briefing for Friday, February 25th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. The price of oil has been on the rise for weeks, but Russia's invasion of Ukraine led to oil prices topping $100 a barrel for the first time since 2014, and that could have a big effect on Americans' budgets.
So if you're spending more on gasoline, that might mean you're spending less going out to eat, and that affects the local business owner, the local restaurateur, or it might mean that you don't go on vacation this year or take fewer vacations, which is going to affect the tourism industry.
On today's show, we'll call on our economics reporter Josh Mitchell to explain how oil hitting $100 a barrel will impact your personal finances beyond filling your gas tank. That's after the break.
This message is brought to you by Nuveen. Nuveen has provided investment excellence for 125 years with expertise across income and alternatives. Nuveen continues to expand its capabilities while maintaining its legacy as a leading investment manager. Visit Nuveen.com to learn more. Investing involves risk. Loss of principal is possible.
Russia's invasion of Ukraine this week pushed already high oil prices over $100 a barrel. But why is that level significant, and how is it likely to affect your finances? WSJ economics reporter Josh Mitchell has been studying the numbers, and he's here to discuss. Josh, thanks so much for being here.
Sure, thanks.
So Josh, first of all, can you explain why geopolitical tensions and military actions, like what we're seeing from Russia and Ukraine, tend to drive oil prices higher? What's the cause-effect relationship here?
So Russia and Ukraine and that whole region are a big exporter of oil. A lot of oil that the world gets comes from that region. And so the concern is that if there is a conflict, if there's a war, if there's an invasion, which has started, that could disrupt exports of energy supplies, particularly oil, to the rest of the world. What that means is the supply of oil could go down. And obviously, the price of oil is determined by supply and demand. So, that's the big concern here. Also, sanctions against Russia could affect commodities trading, which could have an effect on the supply of oil as well. So there is a complex relationship here, but it all comes down to how smoothly oil markets are going to flow after this.
You know, anyone who's filled up at the gas pump or has been heating their home this winter has already felt the pinch as oil prices have gone up over the past few months. But why is the $100 a barrel mark a significant milestone?
In some ways, it's more symbolic, but it's a significant milestone in the sense that that's at the highest that oil has traded since 2014. And the other thing to keep in mind is that it's gone up very quickly. You know, just in the past year, oil, you know, by some benchmarks is up by a third. And so this comes as we're already in a high inflation environment. The cost of living has gone up very quickly in the United States. Gasoline prices are a big reason why. So, you know, yes, $100 isn't much different than $99 in one sense, no, but it is a symbolic threshold and it's eye-opening considering how quickly it's risen.
Now, from a dollars and cents standpoint, what do economists say the effect of $100 a barrel oil is on household budgets?
Right. So if you look at overall energy costs, they've already grown really quickly. And some economists I talked to said that if oil stays at $100 a barrel in the long term, that could come out to about $750 on average for family costs this year. In other words, families could spend $750 more on energy this year versus last year because of how high oil has gone.
So now that Americans are spending a lot more on gas and oil products today than they were a year ago, how is that going to affect the way that we spend on other things?
You know, when Americans spend more on gasoline at the pump or on heating their homes, that basically deprives the economy of other types of spending. So if you're spending more on gasoline, that might mean you're spending less going out to eat. And that affects the local business owner, the local restaurateur. Or it might mean that you don't go on vacation this year or take fewer vacations, which is going to affect the tourism industry. So there's a lot of side effects that happens when gasoline prices and oil prices rise. And basically, you know, the overall effect is it could really cause consumers to rein in spending or cut spending in other areas. You know, if they're spending more at the pump, that's good for investors in the oil industry. It might not be good for other industries that are not going to get that spending.
Now, you mentioned inflation a moment ago. How do oil prices at these high levels fit into the overall rate of inflation?
So the overall cost of living rose by 7.5% in January over the prior 12 months. That's the inflation rate, 7.5%. A big chunk of that was due to higher oil prices. More than one percentage point was due to higher energy costs. And basically, you have oil being a very big driver of the overall cost of living. So it's a big part of this picture. It's not the only part of the picture, but it's a big part of this picture. And the way economists look at this is, you know, how much higher will inflation go because of higher oil prices? And some economists say, you know, this year, the higher oil prices could add 0.3 percentage points to the overall inflation rate. So what does that mean? Well, in January, inflation was 7.5%. Now, a lot of economists don't expect inflation to be 7.5% this year. They expect that to cool. But let's just take a look at January. 0.3 percentage points means that inflation is no longer 7.5%. It's now 7.8%. That is a really big deal. Keep in mind, before the pandemic, inflation was running between 2 and 3%. So 0.3 is a pretty solid increase. And households are not going to feel this simply at the gas pump. If you think about how crucial oil is to our economy, if you're a business owner, oil affects your shipping costs. If you want to ship something across the United States or ship it from overseas, whether it's a car, whether it's a bed frame, what have you, that's going to increase shipping costs. And companies don't like to absorb those costs. They want to maintain their profit margins, which means that if they're paying higher costs, what often happens is they raise the price of their goods so that essentially they're passing on those higher costs to consumers.
Now, with inflation already at a 40-year high, can U.S. households withstand prices going even higher?
The short answer is probably yes. And the main reason why is because households still have a lot of money saved up. And again, I'm talking about average. You know, whenever someone asks me about, you know, do households have money, I'm talking about, you know, all households in the United States on average have a decent amount of money saved up. Many economists in the private sector estimate that households collectively have more than $2 trillion in their savings accounts above what they would have had there never been a pandemic. The main reason why is because Congress approved a lot of stimulus money for households, a lot of unemployment insurance money. A lot of that money is still sitting in bank accounts. Now, the important thing to keep in mind, as I said, on average, high oil prices, high gasoline prices do disproportionately hit lower income households. And there is a concern that while in general, on average, the U.S. economy can withstand this increase for now, and households on average can withstand this increase and absorb the increase and pay for it because of these savings, some households might not be able to, particularly lower income households.
You know, Josh, when we see how expensive it's become for the U.S. to import oil, it brings up memories that about 10 years ago, the U.S. had become the world's biggest oil producer, meaning it exported more oil than it imported. But that scenario has tilted back the other way. What happened?
What happened was oil prices crashed around 2014, and investors lost a lot of money because of that. And since then, investors have tried to take a steadier approach in terms of encouraging companies tied to the oil industry to drill in the United States. It used to be that companies tied to oil exploration or energy exploration would drill really aggressively, try to get as much oil out of the ground as they could as quickly as possible and then sell it. Now they take a steadier, longer-term approach because they don't want to be affected by any dramatic increase or decrease in oil. You know, if oil comes back down by $20, you know, later this summer, that could really affect investors and their profit margins. And so they want to take a steadier, longer-term approach, which means that as oil prices rise, they might not be as inclined as they used to be to drill aggressively to make profits off of those high prices.
And Josh, all this has rattled stock markets. A lot of people have seen that in their stock portfolios or 401ks. But the expectation that the Federal Reserve will start raising interest rates next month has also had markets on edge. Could the effect of $100 oil on the economy change the Fed's timetable?
What high oil prices does is really creates a new headache for the Fed, because on the one hand, high oil prices are likely to push up inflation, which means if you look at it from that perspective, it might make the Fed more inclined to raise interest rates more quickly than without this rise in oil because of inflation. On the other hand, the Fed is also concerned about economic growth, and it has a tight balancing act right now where it's trying to raise interest rates at a slow enough pace that it doesn't send the economy back into recession. So some economists I talked to said, actually, you know, rising oil prices could cause the Fed to more slowly raise interest rates because they don't want the economy to tip back into a downturn.
And so ultimately, Josh, what could eventually cause oil prices to come back down?
If this conflict is resolved quickly and Ukraine and Russia, you know, start to, you know, smoothly export oil to global markets, you know, that could have an effect. If the Biden administration takes moves to, you know, increase oil drilling in the United States, that could have some effect. But overall, it's very unclear right now what's going to happen from here.
All right. That's Wall Street Journal economics reporter Josh Mitchell. Josh, thanks so much for being with us.
Sure. Thank you.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.